Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get right to it, shall we? For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. That's Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. You look back in the Old Testament, especially in the law there, and right in the book of Leviticus, the heart of it, you find that there is blood all over it. Now, I know that sounds, in a way, even gross, but the concept of making atonement for a soul, the idea of a sacrifice, is not something that should be strange to you if you've at all studied your Bible. We must understand the biblical approach to this subject. We are so far removed in our antiseptic society from anything that is real, anything that we don't even know how our meat is prepared. You know what I'm saying? Anything that is associated with blood, that to us it seems like an off-color topic. And yet the Bible deals with it repeatedly. We have the statement made in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 9, verse 22, "According to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission." The blood, as indicated in Leviticus 17, represents the life. The life is in the blood. And it says that it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So it is natural for us to think about, when we consider making sacrifice or when we consider somebody paying the price, for the blood to represent that. The shedding of blood, that is to give of your life, is something that is both pictured and in a very real way encapsulated in the shedding of blood. So, the Bible is very clear that this is something we don't need to shy away from. We need to figure it out. See what the Bible says about it. So, let's see if we can dig a little deeper and we can get a better understanding of particularly what the Bible says about the blood of Christ, but also especially how the Bible approaches the subject in general. In Hebrews chapter 9, beginning at verse 6, we're there again in Hebrews 9, he says, "When these things had been thus prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services." Now, what kind of Old Testament services do you think that they had back then? We don't do that today, but look what it says. "Into the second part the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people, their sins that they had committed in ignorance." In Hebrews chapter 10, if you just turn the page, he says, "For the law, having a shadow of things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect." You see, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. That's Hebrews 10, verse 4. They back then would make a sacrifice unto God. "God, we've done wrong. Here, please accept a gift at our hand." Well, obviously, your animals in your flock are better than whatever plants that you might have. At least animal life is esteemed to be more valuable. And so you would offer this animal unto God, and then the meat would go to the priests, and they would eat and live off of the meat. The thing about it is that it is not really possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. They can't willingly give themselves or pay the price for man's sin, and so that doesn't really work, does it? But it was obviously picturing something and getting us ready for something else. So, there is a sacrifice, yes, that needs to be made. There is indeed a gift that can be given unto God, but the pure gift of love and of someone's life freely given could only be made by one person, Jesus Christ. And that gift unto God is something whereby he accepted the challenge of taking all sins upon himself, so that all might be forgiven from sin, if they will just trust on him in faith. Now, if someone finds this a little bit confusing, it is simply because many of the concepts today, like I said, are not being taught. And this is something that would be much more readily understood in other days and ages. Nevertheless, now people seem to have a little bit of a difficulty with that. Do you think that somebody can get right with God just simply by saying, "Oh, well, Lord, I'm sorry for what I did"? Well, that doesn't change the fact that you haven't paid for what you've done. You haven't really made it right with God because no payment has been made. Jesus Christ paid the price for sin, ladies and gentlemen, and that is pictured in and that is understood in saying that one word, blood, or in that phrase, that he shed his blood. In Ephesians 1, verse 7, the Bible says, "In him," that is in Christ, "we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." So the forgiveness of sins comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. the New Testament is consistent in picturing this to us, so it's not just an Old Testament concept. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, it says that from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him, that is Jesus, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Did you catch that? Washed us from our sins. How? With what? In his own blood. And this expression given in the Bible, you might think, is rather contrary. That is, how do you wash something with blood? We constantly are trying to get the blood out of something. Nevertheless, it is picturing here a spiritual sacrifice. Yes, Jesus literally gave his life, and yet at the same time, we know that it accomplished far more than that on a spiritual level, in the spiritual realm. Because Jesus was willing to give himself, he said, "Let it all be on me, and I will pay the price." Now, the devil may have thought that he was accomplishing something great when he had Jesus killed. He can't lead the people. He can't guide them anymore on this earth. But the whole point of God is that he would give himself for the people, that he would suffer for them, so that we don't have to pay the price of that sin. Jesus already paid it. He has given his very life. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." Now think about this for a moment. You can't go out here and climb the highest mountain for God and act like that takes away your sins, that makes everything better. Only Jesus can do that, and that by the grace of God. How is it that we are going to know we have contacted the blood of Christ, that we're actually cleansed by that blood as described in Ephesians 1 and Revelation 1? How is it that we're going to know that we have received the washing of regeneration? Well, it says in Acts 22 and verse 16, "And now why are you waiting, or why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Now, what was he told to do here? The Apostle Paul was told to arise. This is before he became the Apostle Paul, but instead he was in the process of being converted. Arise and be baptized. And what would accompany this? The washing away of sins. And what does he do, and what is accomplished by this? Calling on the name of the Lord. So, you look at Ephesians 1 and Revelation 1, you see that we are indeed cleansed by the blood of Christ. That washing occurs when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not that hard to understand when you piece all the Bible verses together. In John chapter 19, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. That's John 19 verse 34. In Romans chapter 6, it says, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Now I ask you, where was his blood shed? In death. Why then are we baptized into his death? Because that's where his blood was shed. Connect Romans chapter 6 with John chapter 19. Isn't it fascinating how Scripture all comes together and gives us the right kind of connection so that we can understand in our mind? Jesus gave himself for us, but all people are not automatically saved. They are saved when they obey the gospel, because at that point they've not earned anything. Instead, the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed them of their sins. We remember that cleansing of Jesus' blood in the taking of the Lord's Supper. "This is my blood of the new covenant," he says, Matthew 26, verse 28, "which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And we remember that, and as Christians are grateful unto God that Jesus has saved us for the shedding of that blood, by the shedding of that blood. And when it says here, notice that Jesus' blood was shed for the remission of sins, this also goes back to in Acts chapter 2, where they were obeying the gospel, and it was said to them to do two things there. Peter said to them in Acts 2:38, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Thus, in obeying the gospel, they entered into the remission of sins, which is why Jesus shed his blood, which is what we remember each Sunday in the taking of the Lord's Supper, which is exactly what the Scripture teaches for us to understand about this. Later on in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, he explains that the church is a blood-purchased institution. "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock," he says in Acts 20:28, "among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers," or bishops, or elders, if you will, "to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Ladies and gentlemen, the blood of Jesus Christ is a necessary thing. The blood of Jesus Christ is what we all have to be cleansed of our sins. And if you are saved today, it is only because of that great sacrifice of Jesus. And if you need any help understanding that, or if there's any kind of assistance we can render to you in understanding the Scriptures, then the Mount Gilead Church of Christ would like to help. Why not come by and see us? Why not contact us? And by all means, know that you are welcome to have a Bible study with us at all times. Thank you very much for listening this afternoon.